Looking ahead to the week in economic data, as usual, it's all about jobs and the pandemic. From Marketplace, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. The Delta variant is now responsible for almost all the new COVID-19 cases in the country, and the CDC is reporting a more than 30% jump in cases just in the last week. That's having all sorts of ripple effects throughout the economy. For that and more news affecting the markets, I'm joined now by Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So what numbers, data are you looking ahead to this week that you think is going to move the markets?
Well, we get job openings and labor turnover this morning. There's been historic amounts of churn in this labor market, record job openings, record people looking for new jobs. And then we get inflation in the middle of the week. So we'll be looking for any signs of cooling in inflation.
One of the factors that contributes to inflation is wages. And, you know, we've got the Stoltz report coming out. Wages have been going up as employees and workers are out there looking for better opportunities in this tight labor market.
Yeah, what we've seen is there are pockets of significant wage increases, particularly among the workers that were hit hardest by the pandemic. Meanwhile, wage growth elsewhere is solid, but not quite as buoyant as the workers who are able to command a premium to come back to socially facing jobs.
The Delta variant is on everyone's mind, from policymakers to apparently companies and business owners as well. CNBC has some reporting that it's definitely showing up in earnings calls. What are you watching in that regard?
Well, what we know is already happening are delays to the return to office. So that has economic ripple effects. So that's definitely one hiccup that we know is already in play. And then we will see also whether consumers are more hesitant to get out and go around and move about the way they have been enjoying doing this summer.
Julia Coronado is founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
The pandemic shutdowns forced many people to delay milestones in their lives, including weddings. Even though the pandemic isn't over, many couples are done waiting. The wedding industry is gearing up for a busy year in 2022, with an estimated 2.5 million couples set to tie the knot here in the U.S. That's the most in nearly 40 years, according to a report from market research firm The Wedding Report. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
Some advice for all the recently engaged lovebirds hoping to get married next year.
They should start looking at 2023.
David Wood is with the Association of Bridal Consultants. He says between COVID-delayed weddings and new engagements, many venues, caterers, and photographers are booked solid in 2022, even on weekdays. Wedding planners have to tell clients,
okay, what's the date you're targeting? Here are some of your choices.
Wood's own daughter is getting married in less than a week, though she scaled back the festivities. Shane McMurray at The Wedding Report says that's a trend accelerated by the pandemic.
Do we really want to have spent all this money on a wedding when we could use it for other things?
But even with scaling back, he says on average, wedding spending is back to pre-pandemic levels because prices have gone up with supply chain problems.
So getting materials, getting food is a problem right now.
David Wood isn't so focused on that. He's worried the Delta variant could derail another year of I do's. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Later this morning, the Department of Labor will release the JOLTS report. That's Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. It looks at how much turnover there is in the workforce, including in schools. As districts ramp up hiring for the new school year, many are also struggling to retain current employees, not only teachers, but cafeteria workers and bus drivers. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher reports the spread of the Delta variant is making it even harder for schools to keep up with staffing.
In normal times, when Patrick Downey needed to hire a cook or a cashier, he'd put up an ad and then take it down once he found someone.
Right now, I just leave my ads up. They just don't come down.
Downey's company, All Seasons Foods, is a school meals provider in Florida. Downey already pays above minimum wage, but he wants to add health insurance benefits to help retain and attract new employees.
I mean, it's going to be difficult. There's no question about it.
It's difficult, too, for school districts across the country. Some are offering new school bus drivers up to $2,000 in hiring bonuses. Henry County Schools in Georgia will give staffers $1,000 if they get a COVID-19 vaccine. But some districts can't require masks in schools because of state bans on mandates. That's the case in Oklahoma, where Victor Gonzalez teaches English language learners.
I mean, some people won't go into education just because it's not safe.
He says even though he's vaccinated and it's not required, he'll mask up in the classroom until the Delta variant calms down. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
The COVID-19 pandemic and the racial justice reckoning have changed how some philanthropists and foundations go about their business. Now many are focused on being nimble, attaching fewer strings to funding, and equity. Reporter Tom Bonsi of the Northwest News Network explains how this is playing out at one Seattle-based nonprofit.
The Potlatch Fund is nearly 20 years old and focuses on Native American well-being in the Pacific Northwest. Before the pandemic, it had established grant programs for Native arts, language preservation, and community building. When COVID took hold, it pivoted. Cleora Hill Scott directs the Potlatch Fund.
Initially, our funds were rapid response funds.
To keep artists, tribes, and culture keepers afloat during the pandemic, the Potlatch Fund gets its money mainly from private foundations and tech industry donors. It isn't going back to its old ways, with reopening and recovery underway.
Now have since come to a place beyond response and looking at more long-term support for our Native communities.
Scott says she admires the recent example set by billionaire philanthropist Mackenzie Scott, also of Seattle, who minimizes paperwork and trusts grantees to spend wisely. Potlatch used that model in June when the nonprofit put $1 million on offer to be distributed in $10,000 to $15,000 chunks. The idea was to help as many people as possible as quickly as possible. Scott says it took just 3 weeks for more than $1 million in requests to come in.
Wow, this money is going to go out the door quickly. And obviously there's a huge need.
The majority of the grant applications came from individual Native artists. They included beadworker Robin Pibashi of Toppenish, Washington. She wants to expand in the podcasting realm.
I know there are so many other similar stories out there with our Indigenous beaders in our community of how important Indigenous art is, not just because it looks pretty or, you know, it represents where we're from and all this other stuff, but sometimes it's the only thing that can get us through a really tough time.
Pibashi says this is the first time she applied for any grant, having been daunted by the application requirements before. In Olympia, Washington, I'm Tom Bonsi for Marketplace.
And in Washington, D.C., I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.